Welcome to earnestlycontendingforthefaith.com. This is Brother Mike Sutherland. Today, we're going to be doing a study on the doctrine of hell. The title of this study will be The Truth About Hell. It is prepared directly from a document that was prepared by Pastor Terry Watkins of Dial the Truth Ministries. I am always looking for new material to present the doctrine of hell. I had downloaded this thing back many, many years ago, probably in about April of 1999. It's been on my computer since then. I've read it several times, but I have never done anything else with it, and today I'm going to present it to you. If you want to go and get an actual document of it that has some audio and stuff that accompanies it, you can go to av1611.org/hell.html. We'll start with a short quote from the book of Luke chapter 16, verse 23. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments. What you're about to hear is hard to believe. We're going to examine the place the Bible calls hell. We'll present documented evidence for a place called hell. Don't take what you're going to read or hear lightly. If what you hear is true, you could be in serious danger. Several years ago, a book was published entitled Beyond Death's Door by Dr. Maurice Rawlings. Dr. Rawlings is a specialist in internal medicine and cardiovascular disease. Resuscitated many people who had been clinically dead. Dr. Rawlings, a devout atheist, considered all religion hocus-pocus and death more than a painless extinction. But something happened in 1977 that brought a dramatic change in the life of Dr. Rawlings. He was resuscitating a man, terrified and screaming, descending down into the flames of hell. Each time he regained heartbeat and respiration, the patient screamed, "I am in hell." He was terrified and pleaded with me to help him. I was scared to death. Then I noticed a genuinely alarmed look on his face. He had a terrified look, worse than the expression seen in death. This patient had a grotesque grimace expressing sheer horror. His pupils were dilated, and he was perspiring and trembling. He looked as if his hair was on end. Then still another strange thing happened. He said, "Don't you understand? I am in hell. Don't let me go back to hell." The man was serious, and it finally occurred to me that he was indeed in trouble. He was in a panic like I had never seen before. Dr. Rawlins said no one who could have heard his screams and saw the look of horror on his face could doubt for a single minute that he was actually in a place called hell. The Bible continually warns of a place called hell. There are over 162 references in the New Testament alone which warns of hell, and over 70 of those references were uttered by the Lord Jesus Christ. In Luke 16, Jesus Christ gives a frightening picture of hell. Starting in verse 22, "The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest by good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Hell is a place of fire. The man in Luke 16:24 cries, I am tormented in this flame. In Matthew 13:42, Jesus said, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. In Matthew 25:41, Jesus says, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. Revelation 20:15 says, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The Bible gives the location of hell. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, he descended into hell. In Acts 2, Peter is speaking in verse 31, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, and that his soul was not left in hell. When Jesus Christ died, his soul went into hell. And in Matthew 12:40, Jesus Christ says, for as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The Bible is clear. Hell is inside the earth. Ephesians 4:9 says of Jesus, now that he ascended, what is it but that he has also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. On page 85 of Beyond Death's Door, Dr. Rawlins writes, patients who described hell said, this place seems to be underground or within the earth in some way. Scientist and Bible teacher Henry Morris also agrees that the Bible plainly teaches that hell is in this earth. So far as we can tell from the scriptures, the present hell is somewhere in the heart of the earth itself. It is also called the pit in Isaiah 14:9, Isaiah 14:15, Ezekiel 32:18-21, and called the abyss in Revelation 9:2. The writers themselves believed hell to be real and geographically beneath the earth's surface. To say this is not scientific is to assume science knows much more about the earth's interior than is actually the case. The great pit, in other words hell, would only need to be about 100 miles or less in diameter to contain, with much room to spare, all the 40 billion or so people who have ever lived, assuming their spiritual bodies are the same size as their physical bodies. That is a quote from Henry Morris from the document The Bible Has the Answer, page 220. Now, the Birmingham News on April 10, 1987, had an article entitled, Earth Center Hotter Than Sun Surface, Scientists Say. The article stated that scientists have recently discovered the Earth's inner core has a temperature of over 12,000 degrees Fahrenheit. Have you seen pictures of a volcano erupting, spewing a lake of fire from inside the Earth, consuming everything within miles just from the heat? When Mount St. Helens erupted in May 18, 1980, it was described by reporters when hell surfaced upon the earth. The book, Volcanoes, Earth's Awakening, page 91, describes an erupting volcano as a descent into hell. Thousands of years ago, the Bible described a place called hell in the heart of the earth that matches exactly what science is discovering. Yes, there is a place called hell. In number 16, the Bible gives the account of people falling into hell alive. Number 16, verse 32 and 33, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertained unto Korah, and all their goods. They and all that appertained to them went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them. Now, Caspar Pusser, a famous 14th century astronomer and physician, who also researched and documented the volcano eruptions at Hekelfeld, wrote some very frightening information in his research findings. Pusser claims, as others, that fearful howlings, weeping and gnashing of teeth could be heard for many miles as these volcanoes erupted. Out of the bottomless abyss of Hekelfeld, or rather out of hell itself, rise melancholy cries and loud wailings, so that these can be heard for many miles around. They may be heard in the mountain, fearful howlings, weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Caspar Pusser is not alone. There are others who believe they had heard cries and screaming from volcanoes. Most have tried to ignore the obvious. Some simply explain the sounds of hell to some rational meaning, but they are there. The fearsome noises that issued forth from some of the volcanoes were certainly thought to be the screams of tormented souls in the fires of hell below. That is a quote from Haraldur Sigurdsson, from a book titled Melting the Earth, A History of Ideas in Volcanic Eruptions, page 73. Inside this earth, this very moment, there are millions of lost, tormented souls burning, weeping, wailing, without any hope whatsoever. In Mark 9:46, Jesus Christ says about hell, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. Jesus said explicitly, their worm, not a worm or the worm, but their worm. The Bible teaches that Christians will one day have a body like the Lord Jesus Christ. Could it be, as some Bible students teach, that men and women in hell take on the form of their father, Satan, out of John chapter 8, verse 44? In Revelation chapter 12, verse 3, Satan is described as a red dragon. Could Jesus Christ be referred to the body lost men and women will have for eternity? The earth's crust is on land is normally 50 miles thick. You'd have to go down 50 miles before the edge of the fire. But in parts of the ocean floor, the earth's crust is less than a mile thick. Scientists recently discovered cracks on the ocean floor where fire was leaking out. Do you know what they found around those fire-breathing vents in the crust? 8-foot-long worms, found no other place in the world. The book, The Deep Sea, by Joseph Wallace, on page 39, reads, perhaps the strangest of ocean creatures recently discovered are Riptia, the giant tube worms, measuring up to 8 feet in length. The worms are only found near deep sea vents. And Jesus Christ said, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. Have you read Isaiah chapter 66, where the Lord Jesus Christ is quoting Mark 9, verse 46 from? Look at the context and time period of Isaiah 66, verses 22 through 24. Isaiah 66, verse 22, for as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord. And they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of men that have transgressed against me, for their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be an abhorring unto all flesh. The new heavens and the new earth of Isaiah 66:22 matches Revelation chapter 21, verse 1. This occurs after the great white throne judgment of Revelation 20, verses 10 through 15. The references to carcasses, their worm, their fire, is after the great white throne judgment of the lost people. The reference to the men that have transgressed are the lost people after the great white throne judgment. And at this point, they have received their new body. Notice what Isaiah says, the saved people shall look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed. It is worth mentioning that a carcass is not always a dead body. For instance, two times the Bible specifically uses the term dead carcass, and that's in Deuteronomy 14 verse 8 and Ezekiel 6 verse 5. If a carcass is always a dead body, then why say dead carcass? And there's nothing in the context of Isaiah to imply these men that transgressed are dead. In fact, Isaiah clearly states their worm shall not die. Even in our language, we refer to a living body as a carcass. For example, get your carcass, which means your body, in here. Why is that important? Because when the saved people in Isaiah 66:24 are looking upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed, and do you know what they are seeing? Their worm. The carcass they are seeing is their worm that shall not die. The end of Isaiah 66:24 is a frightening endorsement of this interpretation. What the saved people are viewing, Isaiah says, is an abhorring unto all flesh. And my friend, that is not just a normal flesh body they are looking at. It is something that will send chills screaming through your soul at the horror, and it will happen. And it will happen to you if you die without the Lord Jesus Christ. Even though the world tries to extinguish the cries and reality of hell, the truth of hell echoes throughout our world. We desperately pretend to cover our ears and ignore the screams, the weeping, the wailing, the gnashing of teeth, but it is there, and we know it. We refuse to accept such a place exists, but it is there, and we know it. Nothing we can do, nothing we can say, can erase the horror of hell from our minds. It is there, and we know it. National Geographic magazine truthfully titled their story on volcanoes going down to hell. When PBS did a series on the savage earth, one episode was titled Hell's Crust, Our Ever-Changing Planet. Everything we know, everything we observe, echoes the truth of a place called hell. It is there, and we know it. Revelation 14 verse 10 says, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone. And Job 18 describes the place of him that knoweth not God in verse 21 and in verse 15, as brimstone shall be scattered upon his habitation. Do you know what brimstone is? It's sulfur. And do you know where sulfur or brimstone is found? Inside this earth. According to the book Volcanoes by Pierre Kohler, page 43, when Mount St. Helens erupted in 1980, 150,000 tons of sulfurous gas was ejected. Job is the oldest book in the Bible, written over 3,000 years ago, and yet Job knew what science wouldn't know for years. Inside this earth is brimstone. Nature magazine recently discovered, July 2002, what the Bible knew over 3,000 years ago. Inside this earth is fire and brimstone. Volcanoes may be more like hell than anyone realized. Eruptions disgorged streams of molten sulfur, the brimstone of evangelical preachers, which burns up before it can be preserved for posterity. New research in the Journal of Geology shows. Click here to view an incredible National Geographic Macromedia flash clip. This clip is contained on Brother Watkins' website at Dial the Truth Ministry. You ought to go and look at that. The cover of Discover Magazine, August 2002, asked the question, what's really at the center of the earth? I know what's really in the center of this earth. Jesus Christ told us over and over, there is a lake of fire with millions of people burning, weeping, screaming, wailing, gnashing of teeth. Amos 9:2 says, they dig into hell. The following article appeared in the Finland newspaper, Amen Ostasia. As a communist, I don't believe in heaven or the Bible, but as a scientist, I now believe in hell, said Dr. Azako. Needless to say, we were shocked to make such a discovery, but we know what we saw and we know what we heard, and we're absolutely convinced that we drill through the gates of hell. Dr. Azako continued, the drill suddenly began to rotate wildly, indicating that we had reached a large empty pocket or cavern. Temperature sensors showed a dramatic increase in heat to 2,000 degrees Fahrenheit. We lowered a microphone designed to detect the sounds of plate movements down the shaft, but instead of plate movements, we heard a human voice screaming in pain. At first, we thought the sound was coming from our own equipment, but when we made adjustments, our worst suspicions were confirmed. The screams weren't those of a single human. They were the screams of millions of humans. Hell is a place of torment, folks. Jesus said of the man in Luke 16, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments. For I am tormented in this flame, in this place of torment. It is humanly impossible to comprehend the Bible description of hell. Nothing on earth can compare with it. No nightmare could produce a terror to match that of hell. No horror movie could describe its fright. No crime scene with all of its blood and gore could begin to match its horror. It will be beyond anything humanly imaginable. The Bible warns in Psalm 9, verse 17, you will not only be in hell, you will be turned into hell. You will literally be hell. The wicked shall be turned into hell and all nations that forget God. That's Psalm 9, verse 17. You will see hell, you will smell hell, you will breathe hell, you will hear hell, you will feel hell, and you will be hell. The Bible describes it as weeping in Matthew 8, verse 12, wailing, Matthew 13, verse 42, gnashing of teeth, Matthew 13, verse 50, darkness, Matthew chapter 25, verse 30, flames, Luke 16, verse 24, burning, Isaiah chapter 33, verse 14, torments, Luke 16, 23, everlasting punishment, Jesus Christ says in Matthew 25:41, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. In Matthew 13, verse 42, Jesus said, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire, there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Hell is forever. All who enter hell abandon all hope. The horror of hell for even one second is unbearable, but it runs forever. Jesus says in Matthew 25, verse 41, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. Revelation 14, verse 11 says this, "Smoke, the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night." Just look how the Bible warns of the eternity and permanence of hell. We see it as everlasting fire in Matthew chapter 18, verse 8, and in Matthew 25, verse 41. We see it as everlasting punishment in Matthew 25, verse 46. It is seen as everlasting chains in Jude, verse number 6. It is seen as eternal damnation in Mark chapter 3, verse 29. It is called eternal judgment in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 2. It is referred to as eternal fire in Jude, verse 7. It is referred to as unquenchable fire in Matthew chapter 3, verse 12. And it is also further called the fire that never shall be quenched in Mark chapter 9, verses 43, 44, 45, 46, and 48. It is also referred to as fire unquenchable in Luke 3, verse 17. It is called the mist of darkness is reserved forever in 2 Peter 2, verse 17. And it is called the blackness of darkness forever in Jude, verse 13. My friend, I have searched my Bible from cover to cover. I have studied every occurrence of hell in my Bible, and I cannot find one verse, not one word of hope for someone in hell. Not one word. The rich man in hell in Luke 16 never even asked to get out. He knew there was no way out. Oh, my friend, hell is forever and ever. What could possibly be worth eternity in hell? No wonder Jesus Christ warned so much about hell. No wonder Jesus said in Mark 8:36, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" Jesus Christ took hell very serious. Jesus Christ says this in Mark 9, verses 43, 45, 46, and 47. Starting in verse 3, "And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched." Verse 45, "And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having two feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched." Verse 47, "And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire." Jesus Christ took hell so serious, he could say without the slightest hesitation, "To remove your eye, cut off your hand or foot, if that would keep you out of hell." If hell is not real, Jesus Christ was the most deceived man that ever lived. I'll challenge anyone to read the words of Jesus Christ and tell me they are the words of a deceived man. Jesus Christ knew exactly what he was talking about. How did Jesus Christ describe hell? Jesus Christ spoke more on hell than any other subject. Let's take a look at how Jesus described hell. He called it fire in Matthew chapter 7, verse 19, and Matthew 13, verse 40, Matthew verse 25, 41. He called hell everlasting fire in Matthew 18, verse 8, and Matthew 25, verse 41. He called hell eternal damnation in Mark 3, verse 29. He called hell fire in Matthew 5, verse 22, Matthew 18, verse 19, and Mark 9, verse 47. He called hell damnation in Matthew 23, verse 14, Mark 12, verse 40, and Luke 20, verse 47. He called hell the damnation of hell in Matthew 23, verse 33. He called hell the resurrection of damnation in John chapter 5, verse 29. He called hell a furnace of fire in Matthew 13, verses 42 and 50. He called hell the fire that never shall be quenched in Mark 9, verses 43 and 45. He called hell the fire that is not quenched in Mark chapter 9, verses 44, 46, and 48. He called hell the place where the worm dieth not in Mark 9, verse 44, 46, and 48. He called hell wailing and gnashing of teeth in Matthew 13, verse 42 and 50. He called hell weeping and gnashing of teeth in Matthew 18, verse 12, and Matthew 22, verse 13, and in Matthew 25, verse 30. He called hell torments in Luke 16, verse 23. He said of hell in verse 16, 24, tormented in this flame. In Luke 16, verse 28, he referred to hell as a place of torment. In Matthew 8:12 and Matthew 22, verse 13, he referred to hell as being outer darkness. And finally, in Matthew chapter 25, verse 46, he referred to hell as being everlasting punishment. What if Jesus is right? Hebrews 9:27 says, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment." It is appointed unto a man once to die, and one day you will die. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments. As you leave your body, you realize something is happening. You hear a sound getting louder and louder, screaming, weeping, wailing. Terror and fear beyond anything you could imagine overtakes you. "This can't be happening," you scream. Your nostrils are filled with the awful stench of burning souls. Your face ignites from the heat. Flames are now blazing from your eyes, nostrils, ears, mouth. Every opening in your body, flames are roaring out. Your body is sizzling and crackling from the flames. Your body is now madly thrashing and convulsing from the horrible pain. "Why don't I die?" you scream. You begin weeping and gnashing your teeth with the millions. When will this pain stop? But you know it will never stop. The darkness is so terrifying it begins engulfing you. You feel something moving in the darkness. Something horrible is happening. "No, no, this can't be happening," you scream, as your worm is emerging. You begin cursing the day you were born. You scream, "Oh God, why didn't you warn me?" But you remember the preacher pleading with you to receive Jesus Christ. You remember reading that gospel tract. You cry, "God, don't you care?" But you remember John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." God is a God of love. He won't allow this, you cry. But you remember John 3:36. "He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." And you soon realize that Jesus Christ was right. There is a place called hell, and you are there forever. But God is a God of love. Why would God, a God of love, send me to hell? Yes, God is a God of love, but God is also a holy God. A holy God demands payment for sin. Otherwise, God would not and could not be holy. Because God is holy, sin must be condemned. Joshua chapter 24, verse 9 says, "He is an holy God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins." But friend, I have good news. God does not want you in hell. Hell was not made for man. Matthew chapter 25, verse 41 says, "Hell was prepared for the devil and his angels." Because God is a God of love, and he loved you so much, he sent his Son Jesus Christ to this earth to die a cruel death on a cross to pay the price a holy God demands for your sins. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says this, "But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." God does not send someone to hell. You choose hell when you reject Jesus Christ, when you refuse God's love gift of eternal life in Jesus Christ. You choose hell. Millionaire Ted Turner said in an interview, "I'm looking forward to dying and being cast into hell. That's where I belong." You say he is a fool. But friend, when you say no to Jesus Christ and his payment for your sin, you are saying the same thing. You are telling God, "I don't need Jesus Christ. I'll pay for my sins in hell." If you reject God's gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, one day you will be in hell. Dr. Rawlins has watched as thousands of people depart into eternity. Most people think they'll somehow sneak into heaven, but Dr. Rawlins claims most people descend into the flames of hell. Jesus Christ gave a solemn warning in Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. Verse 23, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." If it was for a few days, a few months, a few years, or even a million years, but to be tormented forever, you will despair of ever having any deliverance. You will beg for death itself to come and take you away. You will curse the day you were born. Revelation 14, verse 11 says, "The smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night." What could possibly be worth eternity in hell? No wonder Jesus Christ said in Mark 8, verse 36, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" God has something far better than words can describe for those who love him. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 says this, "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." Again, that's 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. Friend, there is a place called hell. And if you continually refuse God's gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, just as sure as you live and breathe, one day you will wake up in hell. Don't wait until you die to find out the truth about hell. Tomorrow may be too late. Proverbs 21, verse 1 says this, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." 3 people die every second, 180 every minute. When you consider those numbers, that is terrible. And what we'll have is we'll have an automobile accident, a heart attack, a stroke. One thing is certain, you will die today, tomorrow, a week, a month, a year, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 50 years. One thing is certain, it is appointed unto man to die once. Don't be caught dead without Jesus. You may have some terrible mistakes in your life. There may be some things in your life you would give anything to be able to change. But friend, I assure you, if you die without Jesus Christ, it'll be the worst mistake you could possibly make. Has there ever come a time and place in your life when you received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? If not, you are on your way to hell. Don't let anyone convince you that when you die, it will be all over. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. Revelation 20, verse 15 says, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." If you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, bow your head this minute and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to save you. Don't put it off another second. Nothing's worth taking the chance. It's simple to be saved. Realize that you're a sinner. Romans 3:10 says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Romans 23 says, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Realize that you cannot save yourself. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Isaiah 64, verse 6. Titus 3:5 says this, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. Realize that Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for your sins, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. Revelation 1:5 says this, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his blood. Simply by faith, receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. John 1:12 says this, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Acts chapter 16, verses 30 and 31, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. And John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That completes comments of Pastor Watkins, and I would like to follow that up with a few passages of scripture out of Romans chapter 10, and we'll start in verse 9 on that. Let's move up to verse 8. We'll start there. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth in him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? That's why I'm here today, is I'm letting you know what the Lord has to say both about hell and about the great gift of salvation. Verse 15 of Romans 10, and how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Esaias saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Folks, you can know the Lord Jesus Christ, and you can be saved today, but you must believe in your heart what the Bible says about the Lord Jesus Christ. The only way for you to be saved is through the Lord Jesus Christ. He said in John 14:6 that I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to God except through him. And I would encourage you to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior today. All you have to do is believe in your heart and ask him, and you will become a Son of God. Anybody that calls upon him that believes, the Lord Jesus Christ will save them. Thank you for joining us today.